the beginning, before time, before people, before the world began. Here and now, among us, beside us, enlisting the people of earth for the purposes of heaven. In the future, when we have turned to dust and all we know has found its fulfillment, not denying the world, but delighting in it. Not condemning the world, but redeeming it.
God was, God is, God will be.
In the name of the one through whom God redeemed the world, let us offer to one another Christ's peace.
Peace be with you and all in this house.
Let us share with one another a sign of Christ's peace. Greetings to you all, and welcome to worship here at Old South Church in Boston. We are an open and affirming congregation of the United Church of Christ, which means this. You are welcome if Old South Church is home, and you are welcome if you have traveled far by geography or by spiritual distance to be here with us. And you are especially welcome if your group of so many dozens of children from Doshisha School in Japan. We welcome you today. You are welcome here if you are a devout believer, and you are welcome if you are a questioning believer, and you are welcome here if you are an outright disbeliever. We are glad to have you with us today. You are welcome, whatever your age, whatever your hue, whatever your body looks like, whomever you love, whatever pronoun you prefer, you are welcome here. And more than that, you are needed here, because it takes each and every one of us to make worship happen. And oh, what a worship we've got for you today. We would love to know who is worshiping with us today, so I'd invite you to take the black pads at the ends of your pews, pick them up in the air, wave them at me, yes? Then write down your name, maybe a prayer, some contact information, a question. Write us enough and we will write you back. Give us a chance to show you what that real Old South hospitality is all about. If you are brand new here, you might like to join us at the Welcome Hub at the piano here in the front following worship. There you'll be joined by a minister and a church member who can answer your questions, show you around a little bit, and help you get connected to this community. If you're looking for other ways to be involved in this active and urban congregation, I'd invite you to look at the announcements in your bulletin. There you'll find ways to help fight climate change and sing to God in heaven. There's so many things going on in the life of this church, and in fact, following this worship, we will have a connections lunch up on the fourth floor. That way you can come and learn more about this congregation and how you might become involved in our many ministries and programs, and you can even learn about church membership if you're interested. So join us on the fourth floor for connections lunch. And next week, we have a very exciting offering. Next week will be our hymn festival workshop and worship, led by the Center of Congregational Songs director, Brian Henn. He'll be with us Saturday for a workshop and then Sunday for festival worship, and it's sure to be a really exciting event. It will also be the premiere of Old South's hymn written for our 350th anniversary. I hear it's a real rousing one, and you'll all want to join in, so join us next week for the hymn festival and hymn festival worship. Again, I invite you to look at all of the many ways to become involved in this congregation, and we are so glad you are with us this morning. Let us continue our worship of God.
This morning, we have two readings from Scripture. The first is from the Gospel of Mark, the 12th chapter, beginning at the 13th verse. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. And with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these. The second reading is from the book of Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, beginning at the 7th verse. Blessed is the one who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in God. They will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought, and never fails to bear fruit. May God speak to you.
May be seated. Will you pray with me? Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. The psalmist in Psalm 139 writes, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Fearfully, an archaic word meaning awesomely. Repeat after me. I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
One more time, loud so God can hear it and our people in Copley Square can hear it. I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
I am fearfully and wonderfully made.
How does that make you feel? Feels good? Feels good? You have permission to say that. The psalmist said it, right? To say, I am fearfully and wonderfully made is no compliment to you. You don't get the credit. You didn't make you. It's a compliment to God. Give God the glory. Amen?
Amen.
For the past two Sundays, we have explored two biblical commandments to love. First, we explored love of neighbor. Last Sunday, we explored love of family. Today the spotlight shines on you. Today it's about love of self. your love for yourself. And hear me, church, because I'm not sure all of you know this. It's okay to love yourself. Amen?
Amen.
More than okay, it's a biblical commandment. God asks it of us. So let's review. Jesus said, love God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. This is the first commandment and the greatest commandment. But near to it, a close second, and intertwined with the first, love your neighbor how much? As you love yourself. Today we invite you to ponder and learn to practice this sacred undertaking. After all, in the words of the psalmist, you are indeed, in fact, undeniably, certifiably, fearfully, and wonderfully made. We have it on biblical authority, and who are you to deny that? So what does love of self look like? What does it feel like? Maybe it looks like Jesus and his disciples caring for themselves, loving themselves by retreating from the world with all its ills and all its demands. Retreating, as they did often regularly, they practiced a rhythm of engagement and retreat, engagement and retreat. Retreating for a while from the sick needing healing and the sinner needing forgiveness and the lame needing mending, and the blind needing sight, and the hungry needing filling. Maybe loving yourself looks a little like that, like retreat. I dare say, turning your back on the world, not for good, not forever, but in order to refuel, refresh, rest up for your next foray into human need. Jesus did it, so should you. Maybe it looks like putting your feet up now and again and listening to your favorite all-time music. Maybe it feels like dancing. Maybe it looks like reading or traveling or painting. Maybe it smells like inhaling the scent of lavender. Maybe self-love is treating your taste buds with turns at salty, sour, bitter, sweet, and savory. Putting the taste buds God gave you through their paces. Delighting in the gift of taste, of palate, and tang, and flavor. Maybe loving yourself tastes like ice cream on your tongue. After all, Jesus was at the center of so many feasts that his followers were labeled gluttons and drunkards. They were not gluttons or drunkards, but neither did they live lives of abstinence and self-denial. On the contrary, Jesus invited them to savor life, and he led the way. He showed them how. And maybe Jesus learned this self-love from the book of Nehemiah, which reads, go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks and send some to those who have nothing prepared. Maybe he learned it from the book of Ecclesiastes, which says this, oh, eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart. For God has already approved what you do. Listen to that again. Oh, eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart. The Bible says that. Who knew? Maybe self-love looks like the shepherds there, the shepherds lost in reverence and awe, the shepherds who have turned for a moment from the cares of the sheep, the cares of the world, and who are simply caught up into the purposes of heaven. Maybe self-love looks like reverence and awe and indulgence in mystery and miracle, splendor and grandeur. Maybe self-love looks like Psalm 47:1, clap your hands and shout to God with cries of joy. Now, I have to be honest. I suspect that some of us annoy God endlessly, that others of us break God's heart on a daily basis. We are the prodigal son. We are the rich young man. We are the workers early to the vineyard. We are the lost sheep, the ones who have strayed and erred from God's ways. But I have news for you. God loves you anyway. So it's okay. It's okay to love yourself. Some of us, maybe most of us, don't manage to love our enemies as the Bible tells us we should do. It's hard. Some of us, maybe most of us, find it impossible to forgive those who hurt us. It's hard. Some of us nurse grudges and fail to turn the other cheek. God loves you anyway, so it's okay to love yourself. Now, I know you know this, but I have to say it anyway. Your value, your worth, do not come from what you achieve, although this sanctuary is filled with achievers. Your value and your worth do not come from what you possess, though the sanctuary is filled with possessors. Your value and your worth do not come from what others think of you. They come from the highest source of all, from the God who made you, who names and claims you, who made you in God's own image and likeness. Imagine that. They come from the God who knows you better than you know yourself and who loves you anyway. Somebody say amen. Amen. That's a fact. God loves you. And there's actually not a lot you can do about that. Put that in your pipe and smoke it. Here's what I know, because the Bible tells me so. You and your life are sanctified, holy, because you, each of you, is an expression and creation of God's own handiwork. And there's no call for false modesty here, for it's God who made you and not you yourselves. Consider this. God is inside you. In Paul's words, your body is a temple. Whatever sort or color of body you have, no matter who you love, your body is a dwelling place for God's own spirit. Somebody say, amen. Amen. You who are fearfully and wonderfully made, consider this. First thing in the morning, last thing at night, say to yourself three times, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And maybe just throw open the window and put your head out and yell out to the world, hey world, guess what? I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Can you imagine that? Imagine everyone shouting that every morning out their windows. The world would be a different place, all right? Don't forget to thank God for it. After all, the credit is not to you. The credit is to God. Love yourself. Care for yourself. Delight in the gifts and graces of being human, of taste and touch and sound and aroma and sight. Delight in rest and leisure. Luxuriate in leisure, at least now and again, and in activities that are pleasurable and that give you gladness. And this, smile. Smile. You can't smile without feeling better. Doesn't your whole mood change when you smile? So I say smile more. And I also want to note that I preached a whole sermon on this years ago, way before Hamilton. So here's the deal, here's the bargain. If you love yourself enough, you will find the fortitude, the strength, and the endurance to go out there and fight another battle another day. If you love yourself enough, you will find the fortitude and the strength and the endurance to fight for love in a loveless world. To fight for peace in a violent world. To fight for justice in an unjust world. To fight for kindness, human kindness, in a merciless world. To fight for hope, to posit hope in a despairing world. To fight for your children and your grandchildren's future. To fight for God's good news in a world jam-packed, packed to the gills with bad news. And when you look at it like this, from a biblical perspective, through God's own eyes, love of self isn't selfish or self-serving or self-centered. Quite the opposite. It is good and it is godly. It is necessary to a life well lived. Look at you, just look at you. I feel as if I am seeing you through God's eyes. And here's what I see. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. May be seated. Today, to complete our three-week series on love of neighbor, love of family, and love of self, we invite you to be anointed and appointed to be God's care in this world. There are 8 anointing stations, 4 across the back and 4 across the front. For those sitting in the back half of the sanctuary, your nearest station is behind you. For those who choose to come forward for anointing, the ushers will dismiss you and direct you from your pew. If you are in an upper gallery, as you come down, look at, when you get to the bottom of the steps, look left, look right, and choose the shorter line. If you do come forward for anointing, you can choose to have your forehead anointed or put your hands out and your hands will be anointed. As clergy apply oil, holy oil, and make the sign of the cross, we will intone these words. You are anointed and appointed to be God's care in this world. Holy oil and the practice of anointing date back to biblical times. It is an act of consecration and commissioning. It is to bless you to the hard and high and holy work of being Christ's disciple in the world. So whether you come forward or remain seated, please add your voice to the chant, Ubi Caritas. Let us begin.
God be with you.
Also with you.
May the peace of Christ dwell in your hearts. Let us pray. Mother, Father God, there is no one like you. There is no one like you in heaven above or on the earth below. There is no one like you. By your hand alone, you crafted the wonders of the universe into being and fashioned us, flesh and soul, from the beauty of your image, and gave to us the breath of life, fearfully and wonderfully made. So indeed, there is no one like you. Come close now, O God, as your gathered people, marked with fragrant oil, sealed in your care, lift the prayers of this world to you. We bring before you those who suffer, the sick and the dying, and those who care for them. We pray for the leaders of this and every nation and city, that justice and peace may follow them. Protect, O God, those who need your protection, fullness for those who are empty, and give your mercy to all. O God, even amid the great drama of our national stage, hold firm our attentions, so to not lose sight of those you call us to accompany the poor and the needy, those who live without homes, jobs, water, hope. Fix our gaze on the rising tides of anti-Semitism, the destruction of beautiful bodies, and your climate. Help us to look and act, not to turn away from those who cry for mercy and justice, for those who are bound and yearn to breathe. Draw us to those who need your healing touch, known by name to this congregation: Rodney, Maddie, Joe, David, Penny, Larry, Russ. Hear us, O God, now in this silence, as we lift those prayers known only to you in our hearts. Indeed, O God, there is no one like you. For you know the prayers of our hearts before they reach our lips. So draw near to us then, O God, as from many lips our prayers become one. In the name of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you.
from nothingness to everything, from hungry to full of good things, from lonely to surrounded, from death to life, from broken to beautiful, from lost to found, from spark to fearfully and wonderfully made. This is God's work. This is God's doing, and it is ours to join. From money to ministry, from gifts to grace, from offering our resources to dedicating our very lives, the morning offering will now be received.
Let us pray. Gracious God, all that we are and all that we have come from you, and we give you thanks that each corner of your creation is called beautiful and called blessed, and that we are called to show love. May the gifts that we've poured out be magnified and multiplied throughout the world to do your will. In the name of your love and mercy, amen.
Thank you.
the road rise up to meet you. May the wind be ever at your back. May the sun shine warm upon your face and the rains fall gently upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of her hand. The blessing of Almighty God, our Creator, Christ, our brother and Savior, and the Holy Spirit be with you this day and every day. And let the whole church say,
Amen.